This meeting is now being recorded.
Thank you, Brenda. So on the agenda for today, we have our discussion with Charles Chamblay, who is the MSSI manager for everything related to operations. And today she will be answering questions on travel costs and fact sheets. Some of the questions that you had, we provided answers in the invitation for today's meeting. So, Shala, I'm going to give the floor to you.
Okay. Thanks, everyone. Thanks for having me on the call. One, I just want to say, first off, Susan, thank you for sending the questions, because the only way we can make improvements to the fact sheet is with input from review team members and review team leaders. So this has been a learning process for us, and we continue to refine the fact sheet as we, each quarter. So I appreciate your questions, and keep them coming. So with that, I'm going to skim through a lot of this slide presentation, because I think you've seen most of it. Who's introducing me? I believe you've seen this slide. It was just some considerations for face-to-face meetings and then some of the process steps involved in that. So what I did here, you've seen this chart as well. It was the breakdown of various costs associated with having a meeting, either at an ICANN meeting or comparing it to an ICANN office meeting like LA or Brussels. So you can go through, again, you've hopefully seen this slide, and I'll just skip this one as well. So the new slide is actually this one here. I know Alan had requested how much it would potentially cost for the review team to meet at ICANN 61 and 62. So what we did was I had someone on MSSI team just go through and estimate how much it would cost. This isn't something that FCM helps us with. It's just something that we've had to go through and determine your location and the destination, and so that's our estimate of supported review team members. Right now there are 10 review team members that you get airfare and hotel and per diem for the review. So with those 10 supported members, this is the cost associated with ICANN 61 and 62. So we're estimating that traveling to Puerto Rico would be about $9,500 in airfare. Right now, there is no hotel information, last I checked, on Puerto Rico, so I'm estimating about $200 a night. I have no idea what this will cost. Maybe it'll be $250. If that's the case, the price goes up. And again, there's also no per diem assigned yet to the meeting. So what I've seen over the past year is that per diems average between $60 to $75 a day. So I'm just kind of ballparking this and just saying $65. Again, it's based on what travel assigns to the location for that meeting. I'm assuming Puerto Rico will be on the lower end, hopefully. And for some reason, I'm drawing a blank on where's 62. I don't remember where that one is.
Panama.
Okay. The estimated total based on the 10 supported travelers will calculate down to the 26,000 and the 28,000, as I've noted. Obviously, costs are estimated to change, and airfare only goes up as we get closer to the actual meeting date. It looks like Susan has a question first. So, Susan?
Thank you, and I really appreciate this. Charla, I know that trying to put, quick facts together to give a highlight is always sort of tricky. But considering what we had going on in Abu Dhabi on the SSR review team, it's to me the facts have to be very clear and understandable.
I completely understand. I appreciate the questions again. Appreciate, and in fact, I appreciate you guys, being aware of the budget and trying to stick to it. So it's obviously important for all of us to work together on this.
Right. And so my question on this slide is, so there's three counselors that are on this review team. Mm-hmm. And so we have funding that comes from the GNSO Council. So I always assumed that, you know, GNSO Council funding is where, if I have to be at a meeting, that's where that comes out of. So if, you know, say we all went to ICANN 61 as a team, review team, would that be reflected in the review team travel budget that, you know, you didn't pay for three of the counselors?
This is assuming that there are 10 full review team members putting in a project ID for RDS review. If you are getting funded from another project, then RDS will not, the budget will not be hit with those charges. They would go to the GNSO, whoever submitted the GNSO request.
Okay.
So this is like worst case scenario. This, you know, worst case scenario, 10 supported travelers, this is what it would cost. So this may go down if all of you do not charge it to the review team budget.
Okay, so that's good to know.
Okay. Yeah, there's no double dipping here. Or double charging.
Yes. Just one check.
Alan, did you have a question?
Yes, I have several. That was one of them. And certainly there are quite a few people who are funded. I'm certainly funded through other sources. And I think we have a pretty good idea who is already funded. So I think since we're looking at meetings within this fiscal year and this calendar year, or this ICANN year, rather, I think we really have to subtract, at the very least, those who we know are funded from other sources. And in addition to that, my recollection is there are two team members who do not accept ICANN funds and therefore are self-funded. So the number we should be starting off with is 8 minus the people who are funded from other sources. Since Susan said there's 3 counselors, there's me, we're down to now 8 minus 4 is down 4 people instead of 10. So I think we need numbers that are closer to where we will really spend the cash. We are also...
That's fine. If you want me to subtract out yours and Susan's airfare, I can certainly do that. It's hard for me to make assumptions. I don't want to assume that every meeting you're going to be funded by another source, because that's, you know, we do submit your name on our travel sheet, just in case the original travel sheet, maybe, you know, from at large or from GNSO may not have the exact dates that we need you. So somehow Constituency Travel manages this massive database and knows your arrival and departure dates.
That was the next point, that if we hold a meeting outside of the normal days, then there will be per diems, probably for all 10 or 8 anyway. So that kind of thing will vary depending on how many days the meeting is and how many people are going to be under their auspices. So I think we almost need a spreadsheet to plug in the right numbers, but certainly if we're looking at ICANN 61, the formal travel travel lists from the ACs and SOs are due in on December 8th. So at this point, we should be awful close to knowing who's funded and who isn't. And I think it's a reasonable thing to ask the members for a poll of who knows they're going to be funded for ICANN 61 and 62. That being said, in Brussels, there was a discussion about whether we should hold meetings at face-to-face or other places, and at that point there was a moderately strong consensus that we probably should not try to hold meetings because there's too many other things that are going on in parallel that may cause an issue. So I think we do want to discuss that, and I think probably want to discuss it at a meeting relatively soon, probably the next one. That's all for this one. I think we need reasonable targets. But look, if we're talking about 26,000 completely funded, and probably we're looking at something like half of that, we're not talking about a huge expense for holding a meeting at an ICANN meeting, if that's what it comes down to.
Yeah, I don't know if it's half, but it would certainly be less.
Yeah.
And I can modify this slide and
we're probably looking at 4 funded travelers instead of 10. That's going to take a big chunk out of it.
Yeah. All right, so I know that Susan's going to have to drop off soon. Do we want to move away from the slot?
Yes, please. Let's keep on going.
Okay. Shambhat Puse, I think you uploaded fact sheet. You did. Okay. Okay. Where to start? Let me get your email, Susan. So I believe the first question you asked, well, I guess I'll skip the travel questions. We sort of talked about meetings and inside or outside of ICANN meetings.
Sharla, if I may, I just wanted to point out that Susan has put in the chat that she has put this call on hold. So even though she shows up in the room, I don't think she's actually present on the call.
Oh, great. Sorry, I didn't see that. Okay.
Well, one second before we go on. The previous slot showed travel costs for the review team. I was told we're also paying travel costs for ICANN staff who would not otherwise be at that meeting. Does
okay,
that imply
so,
there are none who would not be at an ICANN meeting?
So ICANN meetings are. Obviously, staff is handled differently based on if the meeting is actually an ICANN meeting or if it's, you know, in an LA office or Brussels or some other location. So if ICANN org expects that MSSI team member was going to go to Puerto Rico, that's a different project ID that we use for staff. It will not get charged to the review team's budget. If a meeting is held in Brussels, for example, and Nagar needs to travel to support the review team, then her travel would obviously be an expense to the review team budget. So there are, if you determine as a review team that there are subject matter experts that are not slotted to attend an ICANN meeting and you want them to attend face-to-face, that would be charged to your project ID.
Okay, but you said if. Are you telling us that for MSSI staff, we can presume that all MSSI staff who are associated with this review would be at a meeting, would be at an ICANN meeting?
If I may, Alan, this is Nagar. Charla, sorry to cut you off. I just wanted to elaborate on that point a little bit. We haven't finalized who from MSSI staff will need to attend the ICANN meetings. I think they're still a little bit out from that point in time to finalize that decision. I guess the point here is a lot of this will depend on the agenda that, for example, the review team will settle upon for the face-to-face meetings, let's say at a given ICANN meeting.
I wasn't asking for a definitive answer. I was asking for the general rule. And what you're saying is it is possible there are ICANN MSSI staff that we would have to bear the cost for at an ICANN meeting.
That is correct, yeah. That is possible, absolutely.
And I presume we would bear the costs for only for attendance at that meeting, not necessarily the rest of the ICANN week.
That would be correct. If they are there only because of the RDS review meeting, then they will only be charged for the duration necessary for that meeting and nothing beyond that.
Okay. Thank you.
Of course.
Okay,
back to you, Charla.
Thank you, Alan. So Susan's first question was the review status box. So up at the top, you can see that we have the start date indicated with June 2017 and an expected completion date of a year later. We base that start date on when the review team is actually convened, so when the announcement goes out that the review team has been seated. We have a full team now. That's when we say that the official start is for that review. And we say that because there's wording in the bylaws that trigger a future review. But it also aligns with all of our other fact sheets that we have so that all the reviews are using the same metric. Now, I know that you guys, so at the time of this fact sheet, since it's through September, I know the work plan was still somewhat in a draft mode, so we did expect at that time that it would be perhaps June. I know you guys are working on that right now. I don't know if it's finalized. I don't think you have finalized it yet. But when you finalize that, I will change that expected completion date. And I think you were looking at December next year. So that will change the metric here. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Okay. Then I guess moving on, we'll talk about the participation rate. Susan suggested that we should add leadership calls. I love this idea. I think it's great. In fact, I spent most of my day yesterday capturing the data from all of the leadership calls that you have on record. I think there's like 12 or 13 of them or something. And so it just takes a while to get formatting and all of the formulas correct. So I am working on that, and I expect to have that soon. I don't know if you want me to wait and publish the September 30th with the leadership participation rate, or if you just want, you know, once we go through this, you say, let's work on that for the December one. I'll leave that up to you.
I would think if we're close to having the numbers, since we're not at the position yet, in my mind anyway, to publish this, I see no reason not to include them.
Okay, great. I'll put that on a higher priority then. But I do have a question for you, Alan, because I know that the subgroups are being formed. They didn't have any calls as of September, but I'm just thinking ahead here. Do we also think that there's value in adding the subgroups participation rate into that overall?
They're already there, I thought.
They didn't have any calls on calendar.
No, I know, but the title covers it. It says plenary and subgroups, and I presume the hours will cover that also.
That's fine. You'll see what I'm talking about on the attendance sheet. I don't think we have that loaded, but the attendance sheet, I was going to break it down by subgroup.
There may be some merit.
Okay. So then all of those calls will roll up to the overall participation, right?
I would think so. I think we need to see how it looks to make sure it's not too confusing.
Sure.
I mean, the other alternative is simply keep track for each individual of how many, hours, if we incorporate subgroups into the overall tallies, then the number of, possible hours is going to vary person to person. And therefore that's going to have to show up. We can't assume that everyone was expected to be at every call if we're including the various subgroups. I think any format we should try it, and if it doesn't look right, we'll comment.
Okay, great. Being that this is through September, there won't be any calls for the subgroups.
That's correct.
Okay.
Before we go off of this, one of the issues that Susan raised and I supported on the last leader on a previous leadership call was on the Section 2 financial. That we want to understand where all those numbers come from.
Sure.
Specifically, if we are saying yes, we are now have accounted for $120,000 of additional travel, we want to know where this is from. If we're going to be expected to be responsible for the overall team budget, then I think we need the detail. We, the leadership team, need the details, and essentially says that's the full spreadsheets or other whatever form you keep these accounts in, so we know where they're coming from.
I'll zoom in here so we can look at this a little bit better. Is that better?
Yeah, I don't think we need to discuss it on the call. I'm simply saying we need, if we're going to be responsible for budgets, then we need line items so we understand what is being charged to what.
Well, I appreciate that, but I just want to kind of get into a little bit more of the definitions for what each of these buckets mean. Okay.
By the way, I'm back. This is Susan.
Yeah.
Hi, Susan. Thanks. So I know that there's footnotes with little, very small, tiny font. So basically, you've got the approved budget. That is what it is. We're all working towards keeping our expenses obviously under those figures. So spend to date includes your travel, some of the travel to Johannesburg. There were some review team members that did have funded travel. And then some expenses have hit for the Brussels meeting through September. There's still some expenses that obviously haven't come through because it was through September and the meeting was in October. Committed services, I included, you can see it's footnote 3. So I included ICANN 61 and 62. If you would like me to back out those two figures, it's roughly $50,000 per meeting is what we estimate. I can certainly back those out if you want me to take that out.
I guess I'm having a great deal of, at two levels. Number one, I think my perspective, I want to see details if it is going to be claimed that I and my leadership team is responsible for making this budget. That's number one. I'm having trouble understanding your $50,000 per meeting when we saw a previous slide, which was $20-something thousand per meeting.
Well, so there's additional costs. So it's not just airfare and hotel and per diems. There's venue costs. There's costs for all the technology. There's, the review teams have dinners. All of those costs that are on that other sheet will get charged to the review team budget.
Okay, I thought those were put into the totals you did for ICANN 61 and 62.
No, those totals were just strictly for the airfare, hotel, and per diems.
All right.
Because it's hard to the other slide has options, so there's those are.
No, I just think we need to be consistent if we're using one set of assumptions for the financial resources on this document. Then I think we need to use similar assumptions on our working estimates to make decisions on. Question, the ICANN org support, is that just time or does that also include travel and other costs associated with ICANN employees and contractors?
The ICANN org support row?
Yeah.
That does not include MSSI or other department time. We do not bill time to projects.
What is there?
So if we outsource professional services, and in this case, that's what we have, committed services for professional services that our team uses to help support the review.
Okay, and ICANN staff travel costs go under which category?
Staff travel costs, it depends. Again, if it's a face-to-face meeting,
If it's staff travel costs that we are bearing, where do they show up?
That would go under the full bucket of travel because we haven't broken it down by review team travel and org travel in this category.
So what is that $120,000 for committed services travel? And I'm sorry if you covered that already, but
no, that's okay. Yeah. So the 120, there's probably about $20,000 left of expenses that have not hit the books for the Brussels meeting. The fact sheet goes through September, and obviously the meeting was in October. So we're going to have the hotel costs and catering costs and all the extra costs that come after a meeting. Some of the airfare was already included in the September financials. And then I said, my assumption was that you would attend ICANN 61 and 62, so there's about $50,000 per meeting for each of those, and so that's the $120,000. I can back that out if you would like me to back out 61 and 62.
Wait. So 61 and 62 are already in this?
In that figure.
Spin?
In the committed.
Oh.
Yes. So I can back it out. If you would like me to back that out, then it would show $20,000, and then the $100,000 would just go back into the remaining budget.
I I don't care whether it's backed out or not. I'm happy to have it there, but I think it needs a footnote saying that includes potential meetings at ICANN 61 and 62. And again, it should use numbers that reflect a realistic expectation of what you're going to have to pay.
So
go ahead.
So if all the other facts are current as of September 30th, then that fact should be current as of September 30th. I don't think, I disagree with Alan. I don't think a footnote's going to do it. I think that if, you know, that other 100,000, you might want to put a footnote saying, and we predict 50,000, you know, of a total of 100,000 for the next two meetings, that's fine. But I don't think it should be in, if it hasn't been spent, if this is a snapshot in time of what has gone on, that, you know, we've spent 30% of our budget and we've done this and we've done that and we've had these many meetings in that snapshot of time, then we should be consistent about the facts in this fact sheet to be that snapshot in time and then update it as it's, you know, being spent or time worked on things.
Yeah, that's not uncoffed. I just said if we include it, then we should have a footnote. I'm happy to take it out since at that point in time we had not committed to have to meet face to face at ICANN 61 and 62.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll remove estimated expenses for those two meetings, but that will leave about 20,000 left for remaining expenses for Brussels.
Okay. Let me go back to my original question. Are we going to, and make it rather clear, are we going to get access to line item reports on expenses and projected expenses? Or is this something which we're not allowed to see?
As far as I know, we do not publish the financials by project ID.
I'm not asking it to be published. I'm not saying on the fact sheet. I'm asking for the leadership, and I don't mind if it's kept confidential and not posted on our public mailing list.
I'm going to have to ask Nagar for her input on this, or unfortunately, Risa is in town.
It's Alan. Let be relatively clear. If we are going to be asked, we, the leadership team of this review team, are going to be told that we are responsible for the overall budget, then I do not think it's acceptable to not have line item understanding of what is going into the budget, and I'm prepared to say that to the board. So the question is, will we be given access to what any financial manager would ask for if they were told they're responsible for the budget?
Alan, this is Nagar. I think that is not a problem at all. In fact, that is something that we wanted to share with the leadership team. Obviously, as you noted, this is not something that's going to be published or sent to the entire mailing list or put on the review team's wiki page. But the breakdown of the financial line items is something we can share with the leadership. And one of the items that we had shared in the email yesterday, I believe, was that we wanted to request and see if any of the three leaders of this review team are willing to work with us on an ongoing basis when we develop these fact sheets. So if one of you wanted to be the point person as we are developing these fact sheets on an ongoing basis and we fill out all of this financial information, the time spent on the review, progress of the milestones. So as you're developing these fact sheets, we want to work in collaboration with you guys to make sure that the fact sheets as they're being developed are done correctly and you guys are involved in the details of development of the document. Obviously, that also includes seeing the data that goes behind it confidentially between us and you, the leadership. So this might actually be a good junction in time to pause and see if anyone from the leadership team would like to volunteer for this role, so to speak, and help us and partner with us in developing the fact sheets going forward?
Okay, I think there are two different questions. One is, will we be given access, and how are we going to give access to the details? And that goes along with responsibility for the budget. Working with you on developing the fact sheet is a separate issue, and I think a reasonable, not an unreasonable expectation, assuming the time required is not unreasonable. So they should be separated as two different things.
Well, the thought process behind it was, if there is one person that the three of you leaders decide upon would be the person to help partner with us on this, all of the data will be shared with that person. So when the fact sheet is finalized and sent to the leadership for approval, you all have the peace of mind knowing that your selected representative has seen the data, is okay with it. And that person is, you know, I can absolutely share the data with you guys. It's not that, it's not a matter of not sharing it. It's just easier to help develop the content. And yes, obviously you will see the information. I just don't have any thoughts in mind as to how best to get you the data on an ongoing basis. So the thought process was, if you can partner with one of you guys, that person will see all of this data on an ongoing basis for every monthly fact sheet that we are developing, including the financial breakdown and information. But I'm open to ideas, so I want to hear what you guys are thinking about and what you have in mind in this regard.
Well, I've already said I think if the leadership in total is responsible, then I think the leadership needs access to the financial data, period. Whether one of us, whether it's me or Susan or Catherine, who works to try to, you know, work with the fact sheet and obviously would consult with the other two, you know, if there were policy questions that really needed to be resolved. That's a separate issue, and I'm presuming we would be willing to do, one of us would be willing to do that. But again, I think it's a different issue from the leadership team being responsible. And if you want to say the chair is responsible, that's fine, but I believe I will share it with the rest of the leadership team. So I don't much care who the stuff gets sent to. You know, if I quit tomorrow, the rest of the leadership team is going to have to carry on and shouldn't be out of the loop.
I mean, that decision is entirely up to you guys, however you want to divvy up the work. Obviously, I think as far as the community is concerned, the responsibility is with all the leadership team, not just the one person. The idea was just to help work with one person for ease of access and ease of getting the information across and getting it done. But that's entirely up to you guys. So, again, open to suggestions as to how you guys want to proceed with this. Susan, what are your thoughts on this?
I agree that we should have access, and I do think it's a good idea that one of us takes that on. I'm not sure I'm the number person, but do we want to pick someone, Alan, or...
Well, the three of us can decide who works on the fact sheet. And, you know, it may vary over the next God knows how long this process is going to take. But I do believe that we want to separate out that from access to the information, the financial information, which is just one small quadrant of this segment of this overall thing.
So why don't we give a thought on it? I am a little concerned that we've got a few minutes left and we haven't talked about getting the sub-teams moving forward.
Yeah.
So, but I do really appreciate all the detail that you've both given us.
Absolutely, Susan. And we're more than happy to provide the information. As Charlotte noted, too, this information is for you guys, and we are very actually quite happy that you guys are showing interest in the fact sheet and want to see the details behind it. The problem is not sharing the information with the leadership. We just want to find a very efficient, systematic way to do that so that we don't waste anyone's time and just help focus the attention on all the work that goes into this. So, yeah, please get back to us whenever you guys have made a decision on how best you'd like to approach this, and we're more than happy to help you with that.
Okay. Appreciate it.
And I think with that, you can have your agenda back, please, and talk about the subgroup items that you have on your agenda list.
Okay, thanks so much, Charlotte and Mehar.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you both. Yeah, so let's move on into our agenda. So what I had on the agenda for today after this discussion on fact sheet and travel was on terms of reference and work plan. So the terms of reference, the latest version, including the few changes that Alan mentioned in the last leadership call, were sent to the review team together with the invitation for the plenary call that was canceled last Monday. So I didn't see any comments on that, and I believe those can be reviewed and approved on the next plenary call. And on the work plan, so if I recall correctly, it was Chris, Susan, and Erica who were supposed to look into the work plan, but we haven't heard anything since then. So, yes, Lisa, you have your hand raised.
Sorry, Jean-Baptiste, I didn't mean to actually interrupt you. This is Lisa Pfeiffer, for the record. But I was curious, you mentioned that on the next call, full review team call, the terms of reference could be approved. Do we need a quorum of members to actually attend that call? Do members that are not on the call have an opportunity to express their approval? How is that done? And I apologize for that being sort of a naive question. I probably should know the answer.
I'm not quite sure I understand what you're asking. Are you asking how do we get approval if from people who are not on the call?
Yes, I'm asking for basically the logistics understanding. If we don't have a quorum of review team members on the next call, is it still possible to adopt the terms of reference and send it forward to the board?
If we don't have a quorum of members on the next call, let's just cancel the review team. I'm starting to lose patience.
No, we're not going to do that, Alan. That doesn't work.
It's awful tempting. It depends on how bad we're doing. If we're missing one if we don't have quorum, then we're going to have to go to an email vote or an email a consensus call where people have an opportunity to express their dissent. I'm happy to do it that way. I don't see any alternative. You know, I think that's going to be true even if we have a quorum, but are not there, or do not have everyone there. So I think the short answer is we will wing it, and based on how many people we have, if we're missing one person and everyone on the call says go for it, then I think a decision is made. If we're way, way under that, then we're going to have to use some sort of remote decision process. Does that give you a level of comfort, or do you want more specificity? Do we still have Lisa? Do you still have me?
I'm still on. I guess partly I asked the question to make sure that everyone was comfortable that we have that everyone on this call and also the review team members are informed about, the consequences of not attending the next meeting with respect to completing, the terms of reference and hitting that deadline. Obviously, we missed the deadline. So if there are things that we need to do to make people informed before the next call about how the terms of reference is going to be adopted, we should probably do that.
Let's defer that discussion, if we can, until we decide when the next call is. I'm looking at the doodle poll, and we have a problem there. In the general case of how do we ever meet, and so I think your question about how do we adopt this particular thing, which has to be adopted by the review team, is just a specific case of a general problem. But for the record, when we publish the agenda, I will send out something, or we'll put it in the agenda of what we will do if we do not have close to full attendance.
Thanks, Alan.
Thanks, Alan.
I'll tell you right now, my inclination is to do a consensus call asking for dissent, because we haven't even been able to, in several weeks, get people to fill in a doodle poll. I'm not sure how successful we're going to be in making sure we get positive responses from everyone. Let's please go ahead.
Thank you, Ellen. So on the work plan review, which I was mentioning earlier, was just wondering maybe Susan, if there is any update and whether the discussion has already started between you, Chris, and Erica, and whether this could be included in the agenda for the next plenary call.
I don't think there's been any discussion of the work plan, so let me see. Hopefully I'll have Chris and Erica on the phone tomorrow for the sub-team, and maybe we could talk about that real quick and get something out to the list.
Okay.
Let's keep going. I've got another call in 10 minutes.
Sure, yeah. So on subgroups, so just a quick update. So far, I've heard only from the three subgroups listed here. We wanted to set up calls. We have not heard for any support requests from other subgroups. And I just wanted to remind that there was a dedicated wiki page centralizing information for all subgroups that is currently available on the wiki. Are there any questions on that?
Not for me at the moment.
Okay. And just an update, you were in Ireland, but tomorrow there is going to be a meeting for Topic 7 on compliance, which is subgroup number 6, and an invitation will follow after this call.
Please. Thank you.
Susan, you wanted to add something?
Yeah, I just thought it would be a good idea for one of the leadership team to send out an email saying, hey, subgroup leaders, rapporteurs, let's get moving.
Sure.
Alan, I mean, we can have staff do it, but. You know.
I'm happy to have you do it.
Okay.
If you'd like to do it on my behalf, my to-do list is so long right now that, to be honest, if you really want to get it done, please do it.
Okay, I'll send that out.
With my blessing, if that's needed.
Susan, would you like me to forward you the subgroup recap that was sent to everyone?
Sure. Why don't you do that? That'll be easy for me.
Sure. Okay, I can do that. Okay, so moving on the agenda. So next item is regarding briefing requests. So here, just really quickly, you may have seen a few reminders were sent to Stephanie to clarify or ask on the need for a briefing on contractual compliance and RAA. I have not heard from her, and I saw this morning that she's currently traveling, so I don't think there will be any news on that. On GDPR, so I got some feedback, and a full briefing could be provided on the week of December 11 or the week after. So if that sounds good with you, I will ask them to confirm a date, depending on when we will choose a plenary call to happen in the future.
Okay.
And finally, so on so Carl Thorne's request, which was a request, if you remember, in the chat of the last plenary call, just a kind reminder, Ellen, I don't know if you sent any email as a follow-up to Carlton. I didn't see any. So I don't know if it's just because we were not in copy or whether you have already done so.
I have not done so. I didn't realize I was supposed to. Did I volunteer to do that?
On the last leadership call, yes.
Then I will, similar to the last one, I would ask you to please send out a reminder to Carlton.
Sure.
I'm just very backlogged right now.
No problem, I totally understand. Moving on to the scheduling of plenary calls. So I've reported on this slide So the three identified timings where we have where we received enough confirmations, and if you recall, we had a Brenda's report also the IGN.org availability for those timings. So currently, as it looks, only on Monday from 2:30 to 4 p.m. UTC, IGN would be available, and we would have 8 participants. So those who are listed here in green. And the other timing would be Friday afternoon from 1:30 p.m. to 3 p.m. UTC. So for on Monday, we would meet Volker and Thomas on the call, and on Friday, Carlton and Catherine cannot make the call. And also, Catherine mentioned that Friday afternoon is not a possibility for her.
Okay. May I ask a question first?
Yes, please.
You list ICANN, there's an entry for ICANN.org. Who is that referring to?
So I believe this is in reference to not only myself, Alice, Brenda, in terms of support for the call, but also Lisa, or maybe Brenda, you can confirm that.
I guess I'm a little confused why we gave options where we know ICANN cannot support them.
We wanted to also provide you with some input on when it would be available or not.
And we knew that, Alan, when we did that doodle poll. What I would recommend is let's rotate calls. So it looks like if we had it on a Monday or a Friday, you know, and if we're doing this every week, right, you know, so every 2 weeks we'd have everybody would get a chance to be on a call. Because I just don't see us coming up with the time that works.
So that means some weeks we would have a meeting Monday and Friday. Because essentially it you know, think of it as holding the meeting, you know, just immediately before or immediately after the weekend, which means some calendar weeks, weekdays, we would have no meetings, and the other one we would have two. That's if we're rotating between Fridays and Mondays, and we still want an average of one per week. That's fine with me. I'm just saying that's
what
it
implies. Is that true? That we would have...
Well, if you rotate between Fridays and Mondays, if you rotate Fridays and Mondays, you either have a meeting 2 days apart with only a weekend in between.
Yeah.
And I'm not quite sure how if that is an effective way of using time. Essentially, there's no time between, no work days between the meeting. Or we schedule them in alternate weeks, in which case some weeks have a meeting Friday and Monday, and some weeks have none. I think the only two options if we have a Monday and a Friday. We can certainly ask the group which they prefer, but I think it makes more sense to have some work days in between meetings. Otherwise, you can't really assign anything expected done at the next by the time of the next meeting.
Okay.
I mean, or you think of it as one long 3-hour meeting divided in two parts.
Yeah, I mean, that's sort of what I was getting at.
Well, that's fine with me.
Because, you know, especially if we have sub-team work and things like that and reports back that, you know, we might have more time to discuss. So if we had one fourth, the 15th. See, I'm not following you, Lisa, in the chat because you're saying, so I would say let's have one on the fourth, let's have a meeting on the 15th, a meeting on the 18th, well, not the 29th, but, you know.
Yeah, Lisa's giving the first version I did that says, every second week has no meetings during the 5-day work week, and the next alternate week has two meetings on a Monday and Friday. The alternative is you do what you just suggested, Susan, of in this case there'd be a meeting on, you know, for instance, in December there'd be a meeting on the 8th and the 11th, and then again
right.
the 22nd and the 25th. So we'd have almost 2 weeks between the Monday and the Friday and the next Friday meeting,
Right.
And then no work days between those. That's essentially a 3-hour meeting divided into two parts. I can go either way. We did decide on weekly meetings because we thought there was going to be a need for checkups on a weekly, week by week basis. I'm happy to do it that way.
I can go the other way too. I just, my brain wasn't figuring it out that way. But we do need to make a decision at least on the next call and maybe put this to, like, I think we should just have a call on Monday, even though we know we're going to lose two members. And then, you know, put it to the membership, team members, and ask them, look, I mean, we have to meet, so I just don't get, people's got to figure, we have to figure this out. At 2 a.m. in the morning, I'm fine with that.
The only problem with next Monday is, again, I assumed that we're not meeting next Monday, and I can't make it next Monday morning. So.
Oh, okay.
There aren't many places on the calendar I can schedule outside appointments with assurance, and I thought this one was a sure thing because we didn't want to not have Volker 3 weeks in a row.
So do we go to a Friday meeting next week then?
What times on Friday were we looking at?
13:30 UTC, which is...
And
so 5:30 in the morning.
And I can't make that one for me.
Okay.
This is getting very discouraging. No, hold it. The 13. I'm confused.
So
oh,
I think that's
UTC.
5:30
yes.
For me.
Sorry, yes, that I could make that UTC. Sorry. I forgot this calendar is not adjusted for local time. The doodle poll was not adjusted for local time. Yeah, the UTC one I can do on Friday. So let's schedule it on Friday. Now, that means we're missing Carlton again, and Catherine can't make that one. We hate a leadership team meeting, a meeting scheduled when we know part of the leadership team can't make it.
If I might, this is Lisa.
Yeah.
If you have a sort of part two of that same meeting on Monday, December 11th, that would allow Carlton and Catherine to add their voice.
Yeah, it makes for inefficient meetings, but yes, let's do it. Okay, let's schedule one for a week from this Friday and tentatively schedule. Do we want to put it to the group or us make an executive decision, Susan, on which pattern of Fridays and Mondays we use?
Let's just schedule the next two so we have something on the books, and then we can discuss.
All right. So we'll schedule Friday the 8th and Monday the 11th at this point.
Thank you, Ellen, and thank you, Susan. One question, and it's regarding leadership calls. So considering we would have plenary meetings either on Monday or Friday, would we still keep leadership calls on Thursdays?
Well, since we're treating it as an overall meeting, I think we probably want to do the leadership calls. How about the intervening Mondays? Does that make sense? Monday or Tuesday?
Move them to Monday or Tuesday, okay. And what would be an ideal time for both of you? And I can list with Catherine after that.
Obviously not too early for Susan. It's not fair to make her get up a leadership call at 5 in the morning. And not too late for Catherine.
Exactly. Yeah. So my only complication is I have a leadership RDS working group meeting at 8 a.m. So, it, you know, it either has to be before or after.
On which day?
On Mondays.
On Mondays. And what about Tuesdays?
We have a RDS working group. Oh, go ahead, Lisa.
I was just going to say, I think we have data for this on the Doodle results, Jean-Baptiste,
yeah,
that you could use.
I see.
Well,
yeah.
No, the Doodle results are not great times for Susan because they're all relatively early in the day.
But I'm fine with that.
Okay, fine.
You just may have to listen to my croaky voice is all.
All right, and in terms of a leadership call, we're having a leadership call now. We do not need another one next Monday,
yeah,
then, obviously. Okay, I am late for another meeting. What else do we have to cover today?
Okay, the only issue is that then Monday 11 we would have a plenary call, so I'm just curious whether when would be our next leadership call then. We would keep it on Thursday next week, then same time.
Let's do. Well, do we need another leadership call? Yeah,
we're cutting
this one short. So yes, let's do another one next week on Thursday.
Okay. Sounds good. Okay.
What timing were we talking about for that?
Same as today.
Which it was. What was that, 11?
4:30 UTC, which was 1 hour ago for you.
Okay, so it's 11:30, and that's okay. I'm not blocked there.
Okay.
Okay.
The other thing I had on the agenda, but we can discuss that at the next leadership call, was suggested agenda for the plenary call. So we can discuss that next week, I guess.
Okay. And I'll try to catch up on all of my to-dos well before then.
Perfect.
Okay.
Thank you all.
Thank you, Susan.
No problem.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Right. Thanks, all.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Have a good day.
Bye.